This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
I do like a good bit of titillating action, don't you, James?
I do, but I was listening in on the show. It was more than titillation tonight.
Well, look, you know, there's a tame version of that. Look, we have a lovely show in which we're going to be listening back to a wonderful interview with Claudia Astorino today. Now, Claudia Astorino is a blogger with full frontal activism. Everyone is gay, which I think is very appropriate.
I do too, absolutely.
Yeah, certainly. Is everyone gay?
Well, we'd like to think so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I've always hoped so. I always hope so. Whenever I see someone, I just go, oh my goodness, they're gay. Well, no.
Have you ever seen those movies though? There's always those kind of queer films that come out where it's like a dream or like a day where, you know, like a young gay person wakes up and like all their classmates have just like turned gay.
I have seen a couple of films there, although I don't think that they're very appropriate for general release.
But it was kind of cute. It was kind of like talking about how, you know, then you'd see the straight kids and they'd be the ones that were like demonized. It was really kind of cute.
Excellent. Well, that is excellent, isn't it? You know, I personally have been always very, very, I suppose my idea is that I've always been very realistic about that situation there, especially. What we're going to do, we're going to jump straight to the interview. I sadly was in my bed very unwell for this one. So it's our second American though, and she sounded very bubbly.
She was a cracker.
She was an absolute cracker. So here is Steph and James. Actually, I just realised, Steph's not here.
No, she's not.
She's left us again.
But she'll be back soon.
She's left us again.
Again? She's pretty good. She'll be back next week anyway.
She will be back next week.
But listen to this fantastic interview.
With Claudia Astorino, who recently wrote an article in The Guardian as well, relating to Michael Phelps' girlfriend, who came out as intersex, and the reaction in the media was Michael Phelps' girlfriend, I was born a boy. First off, that is incorrect because she was born intersex. And the fact is that there is so much complexities with being intersex. And we talk a lot about identity. You guys talk a lot about identity in this interview and what it is to be an intersex ally. So right now we're here with Claudia Astorino.
So tonight on the show, we're talking to Claudia Astorino, who is the Associate Director of Organisation Intersex International USA. Hello, Claudia.
Hi, pleasure to be here. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for talking to us. We're very excited to have an international guest on the show.
I'm thrilled to be on the show.
To start things off, I mean, I'm 29 as well, and I didn't really know what intersex meant until I studied genetics at university. And so growing up, did you know what it meant to be intersex? How did you find out? What were your understandings as a child?
Yeah, so I found out things about intersex in bits and pieces. When I was 8, I was taken to an endocrinologist, and I was told that I didn't have a uterus and that I wouldn't get a period and that I wouldn't be able to have kids. But that was sort of out of context. It was sort of just, oh, you don't have a uterus. It wasn't connected to anything else. It wasn't until I was 16, when I started going to Johns Hopkins, that they told me, actually, you don't have a uterus because you are intersex. And in this form of intersex, you're not reproductive. So I found out then, although I actually also studied biology and genetics in university, and when I was there, I got a little bit more of an understanding of how complex the biology of sex development and everything actually is.
So I guess, you know, in terms of the different identities that you have, so I know from your Autostrada article, you also identify as a gay lady. So how does
I do strongly identify as gay.
Me too. Yay for gay ladies.
That's right. Always.
So I guess sort of moving beyond the childhood period and then, you know, kind of having a gay identity as well, how did those sort of different identities intersect?
So I figured out that I was interested in women long after I figured out that I was intersex. So when I was younger, I had to think a lot about what it meant to be intersex, and it wasn't really until college and the advent of the internet that I saw that there were positive understandings of what it meant to be an intersex person, that there were people that said that intersex isn't a medical condition that we need to be ashamed of and our bodies don't need to be fixed. Intersex is just a biological way of being. And we've got a mix of traits that are traditionally considered male and female in the same body, but you know what? We're part of the natural variation in what human bodies look like and function like. And I learned those positive perspectives and had a positive view of my intersex self then. It wasn't until later that I figured out that I was interested in women. And so for a while, I thought, okay, as I was exploring my identity, I didn't know that I was exclusively interested in women. And so because I identify as a lesbian, although a lot of people do ask me, you know, you're an intersex person, though, can you actually identify as a lesbian? Because lesbian, like so many sexual orientation and gender identity labels, they assume that you start from a place where you're a typical biological male or female. Terms like straight, gay, cisgender, they start from a place where they don't assume that you're intersex. So because they don't make room for us, a lot of people ask me, you know, can you identify that way? Kind of in the same way that people ask, you know, can you use that word or phrase in that way? I think you're doing it wrong. And it's kind of like anyone can identify the ways that they want to. And, you know, sex isn't binary. Sexual orientation isn't binary. There's not just straight and gay. Gender identity isn't just male and female. There's a lot of options for how you can identify within those categories. So I don't think it's a big deal to say, well, then why do the combinations of how you identify across those categories have to be in a binary way? As long as the ways you identify feel authentic to you, that's fine. So I do identify as a lesbian, yeah.
That's really interesting that you're talking about the gender binary. I did have a question actually about talking about that. I was talking, sort of thinking about the allies to the LGBTI community. In general, obviously there's plenty of people out there that are supportive and trying to be an ally of the intersex community. What is the best thing, do you think, that they can do to be supportive? Is it about trying to not be so gender binary? Is that one of the positive things that they could do? Or what do you think?
Yeah. Well, in terms of identity, it's difficult. You can't really talk about identity in a one-fits-all kind of way for intersex people. There are some intersex people that identify strongly as male or female, and being intersex is another thing about them. There are some people like me who really strongly identifies with being an intersex person. The things that you can best do to be an intersex ally don't focus so much on identity, but focus on the various so-called medical treatments that are being done on us. So, I mean, since the 1950s, with the studies of psychologist John Money, people have been performing medical operations and other treatments on intersex kids with the idea of, oh, these kids don't clearly fit into male or female categories. So if we, quote unquote, fix their bodies, cosmetically altering them, not in a way that helps health, then we will make them into, quote unquote, normal boys and girls. And so the best thing to do to be a good intersex ally is to sort of raise awareness that these procedures are still really routine, really common. Signing petitions and doing other work saying that, you know, this stuff is not okay and it shouldn't happen. And even just something as basic as including us in conversations. A lot of people don't know that intersex people actually exist.
Yep.
And so just mentioning us in conversations or saying, oh, I read this article, or, oh, I went to this talk about intersex people and it was really interesting. Do you know what that word means? There's also things people can do, like sign petitions in the Oxford English Dictionary. The word abnormal is included in the definition. There's a petition to change that. Mm. There's a petition to let Indian sprinter Duty Chand, who was banned from competition at the Commonwealth Games and who was banned, at least at the current time, from competing in the Olympics, signing the petition at letdutyrun.org, I believe, to help her run and raise visibility of intersex people. These are all things people can do.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. It is 10:15. If you would like to get involved with the conversation that we are having, a little bit of a chat with Claudia Astorino that we had last week, but if you want to put out anything, have a little chat about your own experiences, please give us a SMS on 0427-JOY949. I almost forgot what we were doing here. Email onair@joy.org.au or phone us on 1300-JOY949. And I must say, James, I am liking this whole non-gender binary situation here.
Yeah, no, Claudia's fantastic. I think it really opened my eyes a lot to the issues that particularly the intersex community faces. So I think it's something really important for the rest of the community to think about.
And we do go especially into a lot more detail about some of these situations further on in the conversation, especially talking about problems that are facing the intersex community currently and what's great to be a better ally as well. This is our continued conversation with Claudia Astorino.
Yeah, I guess that was because you spoke a few minutes ago about community, and that was something that I was interested in talking about, because I know, I guess, compared to the within the queer community, we talk a lot about identity and community. And then I know with some intersex people, as you say, they you know, they say, no, it's not about identity. It's about the individual traits. And I sort of wonder about your experience of that in America, because I know in Australia there are, you know, from what I can see, there isn't a lot of people who were connected together. I have never met an intersex advocate who's under the age of 30, and I was told that that's startlingly one of the reasons for that is because some parents are testing for particular conditions before birth, and so less intersex people are being born. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm wondering, sort of, is it difficult to, in your role, to represent a group of people who have such a different sense of how they want to be represented, I suppose?
Well, I mean, whenever you have a group of people that have really, that there's a lot of diversity in how we identify, obviously you have to be careful in terms of how you talk about intersex, because you don't want to marginalize people who identify in different ways. But really, the main issue that intersex activists are fighting for, which is bodily autonomy, that we should get consent over what body parts literally we can keep, and that cosmetic procedures that don't benefit our health shouldn't be done by medical doctors. There's nothing wrong with us. Our bodies don't need to be fixed and changed. So most intersex activists are working from that perspective. There are things about what we talk about that encompass identity and the range of identity, but the basic core of what intersex activists are working for is really just to stop these non-consensual procedures that are happening, and that's something that we all agree on.
Why do you think people are so obsessed with this idea of, you know, performing surgery that's so damaging to children when it's not going to benefit their health? I mean, what's led to this obsession with making babies look normal?
Right.
Normal in inverted commas, like binary.
Right, of course. Oh, yeah, whenever you say normal in that context, I always use commas in. There's no other way to
You can't see my fingers, but there. They're making quotation marks in Australia.
Fantastic. I love it. There are some fantastic books that are out there. One that is really good is Fixing Sex by Katrina Karkazis. And her research really skillfully talks about this. It's one of these things that, based on early research by psychologist John Money from New Zealand, he studied intersex people and it came up, the results indicated that the environment is really important in terms of how kids identify in terms of male and female. And he used those results to say, okay, well, we can perform these surgeries. And the reason surgeries and other medical treatments are performed on intersex kids is with this idea that if kids grow up and they're told, oh, you're female, but their bodies don't look like a typical female, that they won't actually feel like a typical female. So really, the surgeries in and of themselves, I think in Money's mind, were probably not supposed to be the end, that it was just an extra thing that goes along with raising your kids in an environment that says, you're a female, or you're a male, whatever. That's why these have been done so much. There are a lot of intersex people that have voiced, you know, these treatments have damaged me. They're not good. There are a lot of, even though being intersex is not a medical condition, the actual surgeries do sometimes have actual health problems resulting from them, especially when you're talking about things like vaginal reconstruction. If we're talking about reducing the size of the clitoris or penis, there can be scarring that occurs. I mean, there are a lot of things that go on, and intersex people have said, you know, this has harmed me on a physical and psychological level. There are some studies that focus on us, but it's difficult because to really do broad-scale research, you'd have to get lists of patients from doctors. And clinicians are often really unwilling to give up that information in case it reflects poorly upon them as a provider, or maybe that people are not happy and want to sue retroactively if they have a case for it. So it seems like a lot of studies have not been done because clinicians are not giving up patient lists so those kinds of studies can be done. But the result is then that we can say, well, there aren't any studies out there that say we're not being harmed. But so it's this big circular logical kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I know in Australia there were some researchers from a very well-respected organisation who tried to do some research on intersex young people aged, I think it was 14 to 21, and they worked very hard all across the country and got 9 people. And so it wasn't sort of, which is great, but it sort of wasn't enough, a big enough sample to be able to give really hard data that tends to sway governments and things, which is, as you say, so circular, isn't it? You can't get action because you can't get data, so you can't get action.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are, and there's nothing sacred here on Joy 94.9. Sorry, I was too excited being a naughty boy. it is 29 minutes past 10. We've been listening to a wonderful chat with Claudia Astrin. Good job with you guys for being up at 6 o'clock. What time were you up? No, 6 o'clock. 8 o'clock you were up here?
Yes, 8 a.m. Although, we had to with an international guest. So
yes.
Very important. She was so good. She was so funny and lovely.
If you ever get a chance to look at Claudia Astrina, we're going to put it on the Facebook page. She had how we found Claudia, well, how Steph found Claudia actually was on a website called Autostraddle, and it was called, what was it? It was something like, hello, I'm Claudia and I'm intersex. And it was pretty much the first one was, hello, I'm Claudia, I'm intersex. Hello. And it was a really wonderful discussion. And of course, since then, we've seen a lot of her work, and she's been a wonderful intersex advocate. Now, this isn't the first time we've chatted to intersex people on Joy. Obviously, we, and especially on Is Nothing Sacred, we talked to Tony Briffer, which was a wonderful chat to have with Tony about their experience, obviously, with being intersex as well, plus being one of the first, the first openly intersex mayor in the world, I believe. Yeah, that's incredible. I keep getting a mutual friend with Tony Briffer, and I just don't have the nerve to click his friend request sent. Tony was so lovely and so friendly, and I'm just like, and Tony was the mayor around my area. Well, I didn't live there at the time, but around my area, around where I live, which you will never learn, but I'll come around my house, I'll make you tea. But in this upcoming segment, you guys chat about something which I'm actually really keen, was really keen to hear more about, and that was the fact that a lot of young intersex children are, quote unquote, have been medically, yeah, we've got quote marks around here because I hate using this term, but it's to basically treat their intersex condition as something to be
corrected.
Thank you. That was the word I'm looking for. And so we'll be chatting. They're chatting a little bit about that with Claudia. You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9.
I was just wondering about, so with the I in LGBTI, I'm wondering, you know, what's grouped us together? And I wonder on your views on this and whether it's about what we have in common is society imposing particular ideas on us on what sex and gender mean. And I guess, why do you think the I fits with the LGBT, and do you think it should, or do you think it's better to keep things separate?
Well, I think that the I fits in broadly with the formerly LGBT community, and whatever letters, how inclusive or exclusive you're being. I think that adding the I makes a lot of sense because, in general, the LGBT movement has really been about saying, you know, regardless of our bodies, regardless of our identities, we should be respected and treated as people. And I think intersex fits very strongly into that. You know, it's interesting the kinds of questions that people are asking. You know, does it make sense to include intersex? Does it make as much sense? Were the same kinds of questions that people were asking when there was initial debate about whether to add the T for trans individuals,
yeah,
saying, well, you know, trans isn't really a sexual orientation like L, G, and B are. It doesn't make sense to include. And then people came to the consensus, you know what, but this is about regardless of your identity, you should be respected as a person. And the fact that trans people are discriminated against as a minority group, they should be included within this acronym. And so people are asking the same questions about intersex, but my hope is people that understand how we fit in to the overall goals of the LGBTI movement, and will begin to more readily include the I. So then it just becomes part of the acronym that people say.
Yeah, it's part of the acronym that I say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. It's always exciting to hear that being said, though, because people don't often tend to include the I. It's also unfortunate. It has implications. Organizations who don't have the I included in their name, strictly speaking, if they receive funds to do activism and they don't have the I included, they might only be able to spend money and time and resources on LGB or T things. So including the I so that, you know, work can actually be done to help intersex people is actually a really important thing. It's more than just including a letter.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I think the guidelines on the OII Australia website is don't include the I if you're not doing anything I-related as sort of this thing, I guess, about, you know, be upfront and honest and don't pretend to be helping when you're not. But that's a really good point that by keeping it on, it therefore puts the focus on saying, well, what are we doing next? And I guess for our station here at Joy 94.9, in our strategic plan, one of the goals is about, all right, what are we doing about the I? How do we get intersex presenters and more, you know, intersex voices on air and that kind of thing?
And that's fantastic, and that's what's needed. So thanks.
No worries.
Claudia, just to take one step back, you were talking before about the challenge of getting enough data to help with the challenges that you're talking about. Have you had any wins, though, in America? Have there been any success stories? Because I'm really interested to hear about what success might look like in the Australian context and around the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't closely follow the literature that specifically shows sort of psychologically what intersex people report, just because the studies that are out, again, the sample sizes are small, and they're still very important. They're needed. And at this period of time, even though those sample sizes aren't big, we still do need to do some studies, and then hopefully sample sizes will be bigger. I don't have specific papers that I can reference. I just know that it is a problem.
Yeah, Claudia, I should qualify that. What I was meaning was more particularly...
like in a social sense or politically?
Socially, and also with regards to the medical procedures that you're saying are going on. Are you getting any wins in terms of, you know, people's attitudes in the medical community changing, those kinds of wins, I guess.
Yeah, I think that in recent years, as more intersex activists have been speaking out, there are things. People are generally becoming more aware and realize that even if they don't understand what intersex means and don't know a lot about intersex people, they need to, and that is important. So one of the recent things is that there has been a court case for MC Crawford, and MC is a child who was adopted by the Crawford family, and this child had had quote-unquote corrective surgery performed on them when they were young, before they were adopted, and so the Crawfords have sued, saying that they didn't approve for those procedures to be performed on their child, and that child shouldn't have had those procedures performed on their child. So because of that, there has been a lot of awareness raised about that. So that is something that is happening. I think that in general, there just also seem to be more pieces that are out on the internet where intersex people are sharing views or people are including intersex people. I think that the MC Crawford case has a lot to do with that.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Something else I was... actually, my girlfriend asked me to ask you about was from, I guess, a public health perspective. She's very excited. She's a big fan of Autostraddle, so she was very excited when she found out that I was talking to you today.
Yay! Love Autostraddle.
Yes,
obviously,
we love Autostraddle. and one thing, that I guess we were talking about was from a public health perspective, because I know here in Australia that's been a big focus about the frustration of, well, I guess I know more about transgender people having to continuously educate doctors, psychiatrists, you know, anyone that they go to. And I was wondering, you know, what things were like in America for intersex people. If you go to a doctor, are they... In general, do people have a respectful experience? Do the doctors already know? Do you have to kind of, every time you see someone new, start all over again, changing doctors, you know, understandings one person at a time? What's it like in that regard?
Right. I mean, so there has been a huge disconnect in terms of how endocrinologists that I saw when I was younger, and some people also see urologists and other types of doctors. I only saw endocrinologists, but people basically who knew a lot of things about how hormones worked or who were actually performing the surgeries knew about intersex, but primarily looking at it as, oh, it's a medical condition, we can fix that.
But what about, like...
not great. But for general practitioners, it has been really, really different. So I and intersex people that I know have had a whole range of experiences. I've had talks with other intersex people where we'll say, oh my gosh, I went to a new doctor today and it was terrible. And I always sort of brace myself and hold my breath. I mean, even on medical forms, it's a decision whether or not you want to come out as being intersex, because on the forms, you know, it says, when did you get your last period?
Well, yep.
I've never gotten that. And I used to say nothing. Now I write on the forms, I draw a little arrow and I say, I've never had a period. And then they are free to inquire about that. And I've had some medical professionals that have been so nice and have not made me feel weird about that at all, and just sort of asked, like, you know, like, can you talk about why you don't have a period? And then say, okay, fine. And then I have been to other medical professionals where I had experiences that were really stigmatizing and bad, to the point where I never went back to those doctors, where they would ask a lot of questions that clearly not from a medically interested perspective, but from a curiosity perspective.
Yeah.
I have been asked, you know, what my genitals look like by medical professionals when it is not medically relevant at all. I mean, I'm getting my blood pressure checked. You don't need to know what my genitals look like.
No.
Like, you really don't. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a whole range of experiences that intersex people have, and it is one of those things. I mean, if you find a doctor who is going to be respectful about that, it's great. I have a doctor now who is not stigmatizing and willing to work with me, addressing some issues I have, like as an intersex person with my particular form of intersex. You know, bone density is something I have to look out for. And there's not things on the literature to sort of guide us. It's really unfortunate. A lot of the literature, if you look for intersex people, there are a billion studies that are done on new and improved surgical techniques to fix us.
But
oh, none are actually health-relevant articles. Nothing that actually affects our health. Or maybe there are some, but they are few and far between comparatively. And so finding a doctor who is willing to actually care for aspects of you as an intersex person with your form of intersex is amazing, and you should hold on to them.
Well, I guess that's something else that, you know, as allies that we can support, and in terms of, you know, advocating for guidelines, or here in Australia we have a list of like gay-friendly doctors and something like that, for example. I'm sure if you get funding for that in America would be really helpful, so you could have a list of these doctors have got the tick from an intersex person as being intersex-friendly, that kind of thing. Maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure if something like that exists, but that would be great.
Like
yeah,
an online review system or something. We do have to finish up quite shortly.
But Claudia, I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing with our listeners a new perspective, because without that, you know, if people can't, you know, understand and put themselves in other people's shoes, then we're not gonna get the change that we want. So thanks again.
Yeah. So
absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. So what's next for you in the fight for equality and access?
Right. So I'm currently, I've been a contributor to Otterstraddle and also to Everyone is Gay. And I'm currently working on...
Everyone is Gay. That would be amazing if that was real.
Oh, Everyone is Gay is wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone is Gay is really great. Do you know about them?
No. I just like the phrase, the concept.
Definitely check them out at everyoneisgay.com. Kristen Russo and Danielle Owens Reed started an organization to provide advice and answer questions about queer people, families, loved ones. They just have a book out now, and I contribute to their website, Everyone is Gay, and their The Parents Project, which is a co-project of theirs.
That's very exciting. So you're going to be continuing to do that. We will post those links on our website. And yeah, I'm really excited to now have some tangible ways that I can be supportive of intersex people rather than just being like, yes, include everybody. So yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And for other tips on being a good intersex ally, Organization Intersex International, USA, has a brief allies guide. And OII Australia also has a brief allies guide. So check those out.
We will, and we'll pop them on our Facebook page. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Great.
And good luck.
Thanks so
and
much. This was delightful.
See you on the internet.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. It is 12 minutes to 11. Now, that was the fantastic Claudia Astorino, who was speaking with James and Steph about being intersex. It was a fantastic conversation. Now, if you want to find it, we do podcasts with wonderful James Rothery, who looks after our podcast. Thank you so much, James. I owe you cake. If you are listening, I owe you cake. So when you podcast this, I owe you cake. and that can be found on joy.org.au/isnothingsacred. And we've got all our podcasts from our former episodes. You can find out stuff about jellyfish. You can find out stuff about
penguins.
And in the spirit, obviously, of World AIDS Day today, World AIDS Day worldwide, we also had Jim's coming out story. Jim came out as HIV positive quite recently, and it was a wonderful episode, fantastic, with Paul Woodward, who, may I just say, is lovely too. Anyway, he's so rugged and dilfy. Oh, yum. Anyway, I think he already knows that I say that because he's got a British accent. And for me, you say a British accent and I'm pretty much just like, hello, I've got my clothes off now. Are you okay with me?
But he's unbuttoning his shirt.
What are you saying? Are you calling me ugly?
No, because you've only got two buttons.
Oh, yes. Very quick.
What was Jim's re-coming? coming out, as he called it. Yeah, it was his re-coming,
because he had to go back into the closet. Because
we all said, oh, it's your coming out. It's your coming out. And he's like, no, 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 it's my re-coming out. Because he's always contrarian. So.
He is always a contrarian, yeah. You tell him one thing and he's back in Australia now, so which is going to be exciting. So you may hear a familiar voice next week. Bum, bum, bum. It's going to be so exciting. And get back to having, or as he puts out, old and grumpy. And
I did want to say quickly, just going back to the Claudia interview briefly, Autostraddle is a awesome publication. So jump on the website, jump on the net, on the interweb, and look for that.
Look on the net, as my grandmother said to me.
And also, we're going to put up the links on the website, if they're not already there. Sorry, on the Facebook page, for the LA's Guide, and also to everyoneisgay.com.
Now, also, what happened in recent days, obviously, is the state election, which was very exciting. Now, I want to know something. Did you vote below the line, James?
I will confess I didn't.
James, they've made it easier for you. And I'm so sorry, Sammy.
But I was worried. I should have looked into it earlier. But I was worried that, like, because you only have to put 1 to 5, I was like, does that mean that my vote is, like, going to expire after that?
No, you only have to put a minimum of 5. So it can be between 5 and 52, which were the amount of Senate candidates that we had in the upper house.
Do you know what freaks me out, though? Like, I always go to read it and I'm like, I'm going to start this. Mm-hmm. And then it's like all the independents. I don't understand. You know, when they don't even have a name next to them, I'm like, I don't know who that individual person is.
You know what? I'm not telling people how to vote. I'm not telling people how to vote. But because it is past the election. But I do want to point out that in future, if ever that happens, I mean, obviously, you know what's the best thing that I found? Do you know Choosy Voter?
No.
Have you ever heard of that?
No, I don't vote Compass, but not Choosy Voter.
Choosy Voter is a great system, and it was actually brought out. It was, I think it was previously to the last federal election, because what happened was, as everyone does remember, when we had the federal election last year, is people, you know, voted, who were voting below the line. In Victoria, I knew we had about 101 candidates that you had to fill in. And if you vote below the line, and this was in the federal, you had to vote in every square. Recent legislation, of course, in Victoria meant you could only do 1 to 5. Now,
As a minimum.
As a minimum, yeah. Now, as a to try and to combat this, what Cheesy Voter was, it was you could put through a couple of preferences there that you could get a couple of names up early so you could find out a little bit about them and you could, you know, obviously do your own research. Mm. And then what it did, it came up with a spreadsheet based on what you've put down quickly and gives you the full layout of how you're numbering. Now, obviously, in the individual parties, if you preferred one candidate over another, for example, you'd probably swap the numbers around. You know, for example, in my one, you know, there was one party and, you know, there was 3 candidates and you put 1, 2, 3 and it goes on from there. And it pre-makes it for you, so you can do a printout and bring it with you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or, like I did, because for some reason my printer wasn't working, just snapped it on my phone and then took it with me with that. I always feel weird, though, taking out my phone at a voting poll, like as if you're cheating at a trivia night. I don't know why. Like, it's not even that. Yeah. You know what? I thought it was really funny. One girl on my Facebook page clicked the thing off her votes and showed it to people on Facebook. And I went, okay, that's interesting choice. I mean, when did you vote, actually? You voted on Saturday because I early voted.
Yeah, I voted on Saturday because I heard that they don't count it. They're not counting those until now. And I kind of was like, I want to have impact on the day. I wanted my vote counted on the day.
See, I was working.
Because, you know, that all matters. But I was going to say, we should talk about the result. You know, as we said, we don't take political sides on this show at all.
I'm allergic to bullshit. I'm so sorry.
Did Victoria get in early, maybe? Did we preempt something that's going to happen in a year and a half, 2 years? I don't know. Maybe.
Look, I think it has sent a strong word to Canberra. As putting it in the ABC terms, it sent a strong word to Canberra about what the situation is here. I don't know why I'm making ABC sound like it was read by Arthur Buttroth, but the important thing is, it is.
It sent a strong message, whether it was heard's another thing.
Yeah, well, it has sent a strong message, and especially with how we're looking at the results. I mean, what I'm interested to see is Pran, is the seed of Pran, because we were talking about this a little while ago. I was talking actually with Neil Farrow for a brief time. I've heard some stuff from Clem Newton-Brown, and I've put it down too, because it looks like Clem may not get in. Like,
It's a very, very interesting seat, we should say.
It's very tight. Very like I've said every Friday night, it's very tight. And basically...
it's a three-corner contest, and any one of them can win, and we have no idea who it's going to be.
It's between the daddy, the hunk, and the twink. It's I'm ready for that movie to come out.
And we'll let everyone else decide who they would be separately.
Exactly. Now, everyone, thank you so much for listening in this week on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. I want to send a huge thank you to Sammy, who has been panelling for us
evening
from The Wet Spot. Thank you so much, Sammy. Please listen to her show before ours next week, because it is filled with filth and I love it. And thank you very much, James, for being with us. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, everyone. Goodness, I feel like, you know, I'm feeling a little bit like an Academy Awards person, you know. I want to thank the Academy, free to bet, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
And thank you, Pat.
Thank
See you night, guys.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.